Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
But
you had a basic advantage over other people. You were smart.
Well, yeah. That's
like you can't be an idiot and do this.
She just said you can't be an idiot, basically.
You have to be either an expert or you have to be really charismatic. Like if you're doing entertainment, you have to be funny.
Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Sell or Die, the best damn podcast on the planet. If you're in sales, if you're in personal development, this is for you. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I wrote the Little Red Book of Selling, and I wrote the Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. Hey.
Hey.
Diehard.
Hey.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah.
We are happy you're here because we have an amazing episode today.
Who is
Wait
on
a minute.
Our show?
We have an amazing episode every day, let's be real.
Yeah,
but
true.
Today our guest is Marina McGilko. She's the CEO and founder of LinguaTrip. Marina built her business with a few YouTube accounts and a lot of hard work. She is freaking phenomenal, and you're going to find out how she built her business from scratch, how she built her YouTube channel one viewer at a time.
If you're looking to be able to create this sort of online attraction, you need to study what it is that she did because she nailed it. She figured out how to do it. She did it on her own. There wasn't a ton of production involved in it. She basically bootstrapped it and created a fortune for herself.
So before we get to Marina, Nada, do we have a 5-star review?
In fact, we do. C. Sykin writes, "This is such a great podcast. I've listened to a few of them now, and I love the content and the guests that have been on. I don't have the time normally to listen to podcasts, but I can't stop listening to Jen and Jeffrey."
Wow.
I love an addict. I can't stop listening. I need more.
We have
syringes. For those of you who need more, we have it in liquid format. We can send it to you, and you can just inject it on an every morning basis.
Oh, please. There's no Sell or Die IV, although I'm sure many of you wish there were. If you are a diehard and you are listening to us every day and you have built us into your routine and you listen to us at the gym or you listen to us in the car on your commute or on your way to make a sale and you have not yet given us a 5-star review, could you please go ahead and do that?
And if they're doing that, I would also ask, why haven't you joined the Sell or Die Hard's Facebook group either?
All right. Now it's time for Marina.
She gives us the secret to how she built her business, get this, from scratch. Marina also reveals how close she was to quitting. How many of you guys have thought about, screw it, I'm giving this up?
Yep.
And then you give up when you're on the 10-yard line. And find out why Marina believes that learning a language can unlock bigger earnings. So for those of you who are Americans who only speak English, this might be a pretty damn good show for you. Ladies and gentlemen, diehards all over the world, please welcome the great Marina McGilko.
Thank you for the warm welcome. I actually wanted to add a couple of things. I have two more channels.
Yeah.
My Russian channel is approaching 1 million followers, and another one, Silicon Valley Girl, is over 200,000 followers.
Wow. Way to go. So I'm sure diehards want to know, because we're dying to know, how did you get all of these followers? Like, what's the secret?
I think the only secret with YouTube is to, you know, to produce great content, and then YouTube starts promoting it organically. So I started 4 years ago, started with the topics that I love, languages, travel. And I started with a really small market. Like, I targeted people who wanted to get their education in the US, international students. And then from there, I grew to people who wanted to study English. Then I grew to people who wanted to, you know, just grow personally. And then I started talking about business. It's just, you know, growing and growing from a smaller topic. Yeah. And then YouTube just helps you with that.
When you got to America first, did you already know English, or did you learn most of it here?
No, I knew English already. I first traveled to the UK when I was 14 to practice my English. And I realized I speak Russian version of English. So I started working on it really hard. So I came to America already speaking English.
Yeah, we don't speak English here. We speak American.
I actually had to change my accent because I came with like a British, this Russian version, and people didn't understand me here.
Oh, exactly.
Especially when
so
I was
funny.
Ordering like hot coffee in Starbucks, they would pour me cold coffee because hot is actually hot, and they wouldn't get me.
That's crazy.
Oh, that was funny.
And my only question, did you say thank you or thank you?
Oh, I think I said thank you. No.
There you go.
But I can always tell when someone who is not from America learned English in Great Britain by the way they say thank you.
Yeah, they teach it with an F.
Yeah, like, thank you.
Yeah.
So if I want to go study in Paris at the Sorbonne, but I'm an American who is a linguistic failure, how would I go about doing that?
So we actually focus on studying languages. We would send you to Paris first to study French, to a local language school, so you can immerse yourself into language. You would stay with local people. You would go to school every day. And then the progress is much faster when you do that. On average, our students increase their language knowledge by one level during 8 or 9 weeks, which is pretty fast. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have people with like zero knowledge of the language. They go to the country for a year, and in a year, they're able to attend the local university, which is amazing.
Okay, so wait. So you start this YouTube channel talking about things you like. And did you have an idea for a business at that point, or were you just trying to inform people? Like, what was your intention?
We already had a business.
Okay.
I was starting my channel just like a side gig because I just wanted to share things with people. I was in the process of getting admitted to an MBA here in the US, to an MBA program. And I felt really lonely in that because I thought I was the only one doing that in St. Petersburg. And I was like, I really want to talk about it because all of the resources that I used were in English. I'm like, okay, I just passed my GMAT. I wanted to talk to Russian people for passing GMAT. And I didn't really think that it was a small market. I didn't really think that I'm going to be a blogger. I was just like, I'm going to put my phone in front of myself, record myself, and just put it out there. And then in 2 months, I'm checking my channel and I have like 1,000 views, and I'm calling my parents and I'm like, can you imagine like 1,000 people?
That's so cool.
That's so cool. Yeah.
And your parents live in St. Petersburg?
Yeah, they're still there.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Wheelbarrow Props Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, Mr. Gino Barbaro.
The Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast catalogs our journey to becoming financially free through multifamily real estate investing.
Gang, each week we interview a guest specifically chosen for their expertise in and around multifamily real estate.
We talk you through our entire process, every victory and every misstep and everything that we've learned along the way.
What does that look like? Buy right, manage right, and finance right.
The audio podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or check us out on our YouTube page where you'll find tons of other great content.
Do you think YouTube and Instagram and all these social media platforms are, when it comes to marketing your business, or for even some of our listeners who are just, you know, selling, how important is it for them to have a social presence?
Very important. I think it's like number one source. Actually, if you look at the sales channels in our company, they wouldn't be the first ones. Like, our first channel would be like organic search. The second would be Google AdWords. Third would be Facebook ads. But then you have all of the social media. And what we actually realized that people find out about the company through social media. They don't exactly buy straight away. But when they're looking for the product later on, they're like, oh, LanguaTrip. I saw this company on YouTube. I actually listened to their one of their founders and they buy from us. So I think like now it's crucial, especially with Google AdWords, Facebook ads, everything is really growing in prices. And when you have this audience that you can monetize, I think it's amazing.
You know, in the old days, people looked stuff up in the Yellow Pages and now they're dead. But it was, they found you in the Yellow Pages because they were familiar with you from other ads and other things that were running. Mm-hmm. And basically what Marina is saying is that she's all over the place and people go to Google to confirm the fact that she's the person.
Yeah, yeah, you have to be all over the place because there is so much competition these days and there is so much information and you just, we're all fighting for people's attention. And we're even like, I would say our competitors and are just language learning companies. Our competitors are just, you know, companies that teach people singing, that teach people running, because they're always like thinking of how they're going to invest their time.
Yeah.
And we want them to invest their time with us.
Who competes with you?
Yes, I would say everyone is competing with us.
Well, in language specifically?
In language specifically, I would say we're competing with local language schools because it's always a choice. Like whether you're here in San Francisco, you can find like a local French language school here. Why would you like dedicate 2 weeks of traveling and airfare and stuff? So I think this is our main competition, like actually telling people that you can spend your next vacation studying instead of just attending a local school.
Are you kidding me? You could go to Paris. You can go to France, for God's sakes. Why would you?
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm telling them. Like, meet people.
That's so
You study French in San Francisco where you get shitty baguettes?
We have some good places, though. But yeah, I totally agree in terms of language. And you understand me. Like, the progress is incomparable when you're traveling.
Oh, for sure.
Without a doubt.
So what would you tell our diehards about starting a social platform? Like, where do they begin if they don't have many followers now?
Well, I would say YouTube is still the best platform if you want to go organically, to grow organically. Because if you want to grow on Instagram, you really need to invest in ads. And I would say investing in just ads like that are run by Instagram doesn't really make a lot of sense. You need to find the bloggers, have your audience, and ask them to talk about you, which costs a lot of money. It takes a lot of effort because if you're targeting micro-influencers, there's like a lot of work around that. So I would say start on YouTube. Talk about things that you're expert in. So you have to have some expertise. You cannot just start just because. And then answer questions that the people are looking for. Like I would go to Google Trends, look for, this is what I used to do, like what people look for, like how to pass GMAT. And I would create a video, how to pass GMAT. It wasn't professional. I was just using my phone, no script, nothing, just
rambling
my heart out.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and then people looked for this. YouTube suggested my videos, and this is how I got my initial following. And it's going to take a while. It's going to take a year or two to get like to 10,000, 15,000 followers, depending on your topic. Then they're going to be organic, and then from there you can just take
but
it up.
But you had a basic advantage over other people. You were smart.
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
Like you can't be an idiot and do this.
She just said you can't be an idiot, basically. You have to be
either an expert or you have to be really charismatic. Like if you're doing entertainment, you have to be funny. So yeah, it's not just like everyone can start and everyone is going to become like a million follower blogger.
So you didn't know that you'd grow to millions of followers on YouTube. And you said it could take,
no.
you know, a year or two to even get past 15,000. How did you keep going? Like what prevented you from just giving up?
Just seeing that progress, you know, in the first year, it's still like in 2 months, you're getting 1,000 views. And when you don't expect anything, because I think some people will start on YouTube and it would be like, oh, I would need to hit like 100,000 followers by the end of the summer. And then they can do it. And then they give up. I didn't have any expectations. Like my only motivation was to share information and that was it. And then I was so happy about those 1,000 views. And then in like 5 months, I had 1,000 followers. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is like a whole army of Lake Marina. And I was just super happy about that progress. And this is what kept me going. And also like seeing people like reading their comments, they would be like, oh, Marina, I followed your advice. And I just got admitted to, you know, Harvard Business School. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible.
So you didn't really get what you totally wanted in the beginning, but you kept at it. And I think,
I got the attention. Like I wanted to share stuff, and this attention came from like a comparably smaller group of people, but I was happy with that.
Yeah, but it seems like your goals grew as you grew, which is cool.
Yeah, exactly. That's good. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, I need to talk about a broader topic. Maybe I should talk about languages. And then, you know, it just kept growing.
So you were an expert, though, at traveling and languages.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that was the key.
Why didn't you quit?
Because I just love what I do.
Was it? Did quitting ever enter your mind?
No. Well, a year ago, I started my third channel. Sometimes I would take like a break, 2 or 3 week break. But then I would be like, oh, my God, I'm missing on something. I want to talk to people.
Oh, my goodness.
And do you think that how you grew up had anything to do with your determination?
Yeah, definitely. Because I grew up in this like three-bedroom apartment. We were sharing one bedroom with my parents, and we had like other neighbors. And I had to fight for like the restroom and stuff because we only had one for like the whole crowd there. Yeah, I think it was also, and people, my parents would always tell me, like, if you work, you're going to end up like getting a great job. If you don't work, you're going to end up like what people did in Russia back then. They collected bottles in the streets and just sold them for like, you know, when you get this refund. It's what a lot of people did. And they told me, if you don't study, you're going to do that. And my mom just sent me a picture that was on my wall back then, like two ways that I can choose, like either work and end up in a beautiful building or don't work and end up with the bottles. So, yeah.
That's classic.
I love that. Oh, man.
Do you think that that environment is part of the reason that people from areas of Russia and what used to be called Eastern Europe, now called fashionably Central Europe, I've noticed that their work ethic is undaunted. I mean, they are working their asses off 12, 16 hours a day to be able to crack their nut, keep their family, and build a business.
Especially immigrants, because if you go back to Russia, like there are a lot of people who don't really care. They're happy with their 9-to-5 and they don't want to go outside of their normal life. But if like people get to the stage when they immigrate, they come to America and they pass that bar, I think only it's survival of the fittest, really. People just, yeah, do their best.
Right. And wow. But here you have opportunity. And yeah. And that opportunity can turn into money given one element, and mm-hmm. that is working your ass off and never thinking
exactly.
about it. Yeah.
So you're young. I mean, we're looking at you.
And yeah, you're under 50.
And you built this amazing empire at such a young age. What's the trick to building out a brand and building an empire for our diehard entrepreneurs?
I would, as I mentioned, I wouldn't focus on like a goal of building an empire. I would just focus on something that you can reach within a week, like share something with people or help someone. And then from there, you just, you know, based on whatever you're feeling, whatever feedback you're getting, you're just moving on with that. And then it's growing organically. Because again, when you have this goal, oh my God, I need to become a president of the United States in 5 years. You know, you just probably not going to happen. You're going to end up depressed. But when you're just working on those smaller goals and reaching something, I would say even every single day, like this is how I plan my day. I want to reach something every day. Just get this feeling that I've done something good. And then it just keeps me going.
Cool.
And why did you choose San Francisco over, let's say, New York?
Because we got investment from Silicon Valley investors. Back
gotcha.
In and yeah, we ended up here. And I think it's a perfect place to run a company. And yeah, it's not the best place for blogging because all of the bloggers are in LA. That's why I go to LA like every 2 months.
Cool.
Oh, wow. That's neat.
So you take the shuttle?
No, I just drive.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. You drive down Highway 1?
Yeah. Well, one is longer. One is like 9 hours. Yeah. We take the I-5. Yeah.
Gotcha. Civilized.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You know, all highways in California have the start with the word the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
The I-5, the 101.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right.
The I-80. Yep.
So, I'm curious to know now. You have this base, and the base is incredible. If everybody just gave you $1, you'd be pretty well off, correct?
I actually calculated they're giving us more because based on Languageships revenue. Yeah. But,
well, so what's next for you? I mean, you're basically I think I have T-shirts that are older than you are.
Jeffrey.
But the bottom line is you have achieved a hell of a lot in a very short space of time.
Thank you. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I'm actually looking at like 16 and 18 year old bloggers and I'm like, oh my God.
What are they doing?
So
right.
Yeah. Well, this year, this year's resolution is to only do things that make me happy. So I've started delegating a lot of things. Like a year ago, I would manage every single process in the company. Now I've delegated a lot so I can focus more on being creative. And I think this is like the motto for the rest of my life. Just enjoy whatever I'm doing. If I don't like something, I either delegate it or I stop doing it at all. And this way I feel that I'm more productive and happy with whatever I'm doing.
That was pretty damn good. I can't help but think about my time learning another language, which was pretty long time ago. I ran away from home at the age of 20 because I wanted to travel in Europe. And my parents, for the first time ever, agreed with my harebrained idea, and I actually dropped out of college. First
time.
Does
that mean you had hair?
Yes. I had a lot of hair back then, and it was a different time in life because there were no cell phones, there was no nothing. I printed myself a card. It was totally crazy. Anyway, I got to Europe, and I decided I was going to learn how to speak French because French is so beautiful. And I got to Paris, and people were rude, and they were horrible. So I'd had a great time in Germany, so I went back to Berlin, and I studied German. When you study another language, you realize, number one, if you don't immerse yourself in it, you don't get it. So I just had a bunch of kids in my class. They all spoke German in common. And so that's how we communicated, and the teacher. And I immersed myself every day for months and walked away with speaking another language. It was absolutely incredible. It gave me the insight to understand that if I'm going to be good at anything, I better immerse myself in it. And that goes for you, diehards.
I love that. I love that. I've done the same thing where, you know, you go to a different country and you need to learn their language. Like now people in Paris actually speak English, but, you know, like the younger generations, they're learning it in school.
Mm-hmm.
But back in the day, no one spoke English. I mean, I remember, and there were no cell phones, so you couldn't even use Google Translate. I remember walking around with an actual printed out map. That was a thing. And just trying to find the metro station. And I could say five words like, où est le metro? You know, like, mm-hmm. Where's the metro? And so the immersive part is so key in order to understand another language.
People respect you for it as well.
Yeah, but you're it's just
talking
like,
about them to them. It's a whole different issue. And I will tell you that my German ain't that great, but my pronunciation of it is. And so people will say, man, you speak great German. And I thank them, but I know I speak shitty. I just pronounce it well.
You know, yeah, but you know, the I'm sure you speak great German. The immersive part is so key. And it's just like when you're learning to sell. Like, you can't read about sales in a textbook.
Correct.
And then expect that now you know everything about selling. You need to actually start doing. You need to actually try things out and see what's working, see what's not working. Try out our strategies that we're giving you on every single one of these freaking episodes. Do one thing new a day and see how it goes over.
And to build on Marina just a little bit.
Yeah.
She kept going no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And she... it eventually emerged to something that she wasn't even thinking about. I mean, she blew it away.
Yeah.
And same for you, diehards. You wake up in the morning and maybe you're happy, maybe you're a little pissed off, maybe you're frustrated, maybe you're feeling good about what's going on, but whatever it is, stay at it.
Sometimes it takes 9 or 10 follow-ups and follow-throughs with a customer to get that sale. And if you give up on the second try because you feel like you're nagging and whatever, you don't have value to deliver or something like that, guess what? Your competitor's going to come in there. They're going to try 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, and they're going to get the sale. So don't give up.
Here's a piece of advice you can take to the bank. Jeffrey, I'm thinking about quitting my job. What should I do? When should I quit? Here's my advice. Become the best salesperson on the team. Become the number one salesperson in the company. Then quit. Because if you quit and you shit, they're going to throw you under the bus as the worst sales guy ever of all time. But if you quit and you're number one, what's your boss going to say? I just lost my best person. Male or female, you take your sales money to the bank and then take your talent someplace else. They will pay you more than you're worth in order to have you on their team.
Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I'm reminding you to get out there and make that sale, even if your ass falls off.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.